What a week this has been here. And I don't know about you, but we've had a ministers conference all week long. And so I want to apologize to all of you that are watching us around the world from the top to the bottom, all the way around the middle on television, Roku, internet, however you're watching. My notes will be available this week. Can I get some grace because of the ministers conference? I would start to work on them, and Brother Jerry Savelle started preaching, and I had to just stop and hear what was going on. So they will be up this week for you, and I apologize that they're not ready right now. Okay? One, do I get one freebie? Perfect. Okay, thank you. And the audience here voted yes for you. So anyway, here we go. We're ready. You ready? Wow, what a crowd today. Good deal. This is a good thing, isn't it? We're going to study the Word. We're growing in maturity. Yes? For the assignment. And today I'm kind of setting up some things, talking about that very thing. Aligning ourselves. Alignment for our assignment. Because this is the year of abundant harvest. Right? All right, let's go. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up. Father, we honor your Word above all. It's you speaking to us. It's your plan. It's your purposes. It's your destiny. Father, I ask for anointing to accurately proclaim what you've laid on my heart today so that we can go from glory to glory, so that this will become not just a phrase, the year of abundant harvest, but a reality in each and every one of our lives. We've grabbed hold of that Word, Father. We've grabbed it. I've grabbed hold of it. Our family's grabbed hold of it. This church has grabbed hold of it. We give you praise and we give you honor. We ask you to wash us in your Word today. Reveal yourself to us that we'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week, how many of you were here last week? I started talking about and looking at the prophecies concerning this place in light of the connection of the cities of refuge that God set up in ancient Israel. And it really was amazing to see how similar those prophecies are today for here. We started looking about this picture right here, about getting this harvest in. And whatever this is that's been prophesied about and talked about, that we've got to hurry and get the harvest in. I'm going to show you some things today. In Hebrew, when you study Hebrew, which I study Hebrew a lot, you find out some things. 22 letters in the alphabet. There's actually more when you add the yods, but 22 letters. The first 11 letters are masculine. The second 11 letters are feminine. It begins with an aleph, ends with a tav. So the alpha and the omega of Hebrew is aleph tav. You've heard me teach on that before, where that is his autograph all the way through Scripture. Thousands of times it's there. It's by people's names. It's really a cool study. Every time I think I've got it, I find a new one. So I'm like, oh, there you are again. So it is the aleph tav. That's the first letter, the last letter. In the middle, the very middle letter is a mem. If you take the first and the last and you add everything in the middle letter, you spell a word. It is called truth. So the first and the last makes emet, truth. Isn't that something? When you have that middle letter in there. And it's a fascinating language. It's a fascinating, excuse me. Now, I'm not going to get that Jerry Savelle cough. Those of you that were here, and I'll say finish it. Right? Working through this thing. Good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. But each letter has a numerical value as well. So it's a very fascinating study. And I last week I said we got to talk about the city of refuges before we go to this. Some potential signs concerning our day that we live in. I must stress this, and is our primary guidance and communication from the Father is through his Word. Okay. Primary. Number one. Second would be the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals the Word to us. Correct. Down the list would be prophecy, and prophecy always must line up with the word. All right? Somebody prophesies for you to rob a bank. That's not the Holy Spirit, okay? Well, they gave me a word. No, they're wrong. All right, so number one is the word. Now, I'm going to show you some things today concerning the time that we live in, some markers on that road to the cities of refuge, if you will, okay? Once again, 22 letters, first 11 masculine, second 11 letters are feminine. Each letter in the Hebrew alphabet has a numeric value. Now, you can get off into numbers and get all weird. And I'm not attempting to do that this morning, but I do want to show you some things. There are numbers in Hebrew that are significant, that you see over and over and over. Three, the number three. On the third day, there was a double blessing. Most weddings in Israel from religious people happen on Tuesdays, third day, because it's a double blessing. All right. On the third day, you know, he came out of the grave, right? I mean, not Tuesday, but 3 days in the grave, three. Seven is a letter. Perfection or completion. 12 is a letter you see quite, a number you see quite often, letter. Number you see quite often. 120 is another one. 70 is another one. All right, you see these repeating over and over and over in things. And they're little markers for us, okay? We tend to view prophecy as a prediction and a fulfillment. You predict something, it's fulfilled. And the Hebraic view is a prediction, and then there's revelation and another revelation and another revelation and another revelation. It's progressive and circular to fulfillment. All right? So they would say that something would be fulfilled in the fullness of time. Okay? You see that phrase used concerning Mary with the birth of Jesus. In the fullness of time, she had Jesus, right? So we all agree that he watches over his word to perform it, does he not?
Yes.
Accurate to the minute, to the day. The perfect example of this is in the prophecies in the book of Daniel. Daniel predicts to the day events that will happen hundreds of years in the future. Matter of fact, when Jesus rides in to the city, it's absolutely to the day that it was prophesied before. Isn't that amazing? And they're doing the wrong festival on the wrong day, and that's why the religious leaders get upset about it. They have the palm branches. We call it Palm Sunday. They're actually doing the Feast of Tabernacles during Passover, and this is wrong. All right? So, but he's fulfilling exactly the day. Everything Jesus did was fulfillment of something that had happened or been prophesied in the First Testament, in the Old Testament. So we don't throw away the pastor. Good morning. At any time, jump in. We don't throw away the Old Testament, church, because that we live in the new. He didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. And so everything he's doing is fulfillment. All right? And I can show you that over and over and over and over and over. So we all agree that he watches over his word to perform it. Daniel is a great thing. Daniel predicts to us the day and event of things that will happen. Now, Daniel's a very interesting book. Daniel chapter 2 through chapter 7 were written in Aramaic. They were not written in Hebrew. But he switches in chapter 8 through the rest of Daniel, and he starts writing it in Hebrew. Why would Daniel write it in a different language in the front half and then write in Hebrew in the second half? Because the events that are happening in that second half from chapter 8 on primarily deal with Israel. So all of those prophetic events, and if you try to switch those over and make them the nations or whatever, you're going to get messed up in your eschatology, in your prophecies, okay? So from chapter 8, he's emphasizing the nation of Israel. Now, it's very interesting. In chapter 8, Daniel sees this goat with one horn moving quickly in the air, and he takes out this sheep. Remember that? And he doesn't understand what he's seeing. And an angel has to tell him what he's looking at and what's happening. Matter of fact, let me just read it to you, New King James Version, and I'll begin with chapter 13, because I want you to see something here. Chapter 8, verse 13, because you have a couple of spiritual beings on the scene. It says this: "Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking, 'How long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot?' And he said to me, 'For 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed.'" Now, what he's talking about happened during the time frame between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay? And that one goat with the one horn is Alexander the Great. He swept through quickly and destroyed the Babylonians. Now, the horn breaks off and four horns come out of it. That was the four leaders that came after him. The fourth one is a really bad guy. His name is Antiochus Epiphanes. That's what he named himself, or Antiochus IV, the fourth horn. He will sacrifice, he'll set up idols in the temple of the Most High God, and he will sacrifice a pig on the holy altar. That sets some things in motion, okay? And that's what's going to set up what we know as Hanukkah and a whole lot of things. All of this takes place prior to Jesus coming, okay? So in all of that, he gives him an exact, you see that? That's a pretty exact prophecy, isn't it? 2,300 days, and then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. Now, let me, if I can, show that to you, if we have it there, in the literal translation. This is what it literally says in the literal translation. "And I heard a certain holy one speaking." Here it is. "And I heard a certain holy one speaking, and a certain holy one saith to the wonderful numberer who is speaking." The wonderful numberer. So here's what I want you to get. There is an angel. And if you go into some of the old, old Bibles, you'll find it. There is an angel who has a job, and that angel's job is to watch over the numbers and the times. There is an angel of God that watches over the times and the seasons and the numbers and the things to make sure that they come to pass exactly as they're supposed to. This is how he can raise one up, that God can raise one up and bring another one down. Because I believe it's part of this angel's assignment to make sure that we're on time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the year of abundant harvest. And I'm telling you, we haven't paid enough attention to the angelic forces where that stuff's concerned. But I saw it when I looked at the literal translation, the wonderful numberer. There's an angel whose assignment it is to keep track of the numbers and the days and the times and the seasons. And I guarantee you is well up to the task of doing it, right? Now, numbers only work when you study this stuff, when you're in a prophetic season. They're a marker for you. Go to Luke chapter 21, please. Luke chapter 21. I'm going to show you some little things that make you go ooh and ah, but then we're going to get to why, what we have to do. It's not so you'll remember that. That's the stuff I don't want you to remember. But I'm going to lay the groundwork. Is that okay? Luke 21. They only work as a signpost for us, okay? Disciples are speaking to Jesus. Verse 7. "So they ask him, saying, 'Teacher, when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?'" Notice that they're looking for a sign. Jesus tells you that the Jews always are looking for a sign. Okay, let's go on. Verse 8. He said, "Take heed that you be not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them." Isn't that interesting? "But when you hear of wars and commotions, Do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. So listen to this now. When you hear of wars and the commotions and all that, the end, that's not the end. It's not the end. I have a box, well, more than one box, of my grandfather's Bibles and his notes. I treasure them. I don't know how many. One whole box is just Bibles. He wore out more Bibles than anybody I know. I mean, and I've gone through them and I've looked at them. I looked at how they took care of each other during the days of the Depression. Because he's got all of the giving records and all of the stuff from that era. He was meticulous. I need to get a little more like my grandfather in some areas of my life. Thank you very much. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He was meticulous in keeping these records. And he will write down, so-and-so brought in chickens in the offering today. But this was during the Depression. Isn't that something? I'm thinking, what'd you do with chickens? Never mind it. He didn't write any of that down, but he kept records of all these things. And in his Bibles, I saw things that he had written down and notes that he had written down concerning in the 40s. He really thought this was it. Wars and rumors of wars. But that verse says this isn't it. See, there were things that he didn't know needed to be fulfilled, like Israel has to become a nation, like they have to return to their land. There were still some signposts and some markers that were missing. Okay? Where did I leave off? Verse 8, I read verse 8. The end will not come immediately. Skip down now to verse 24. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles. For how long? Until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So here's a prophecy by Jesus, isn't it? Talking about an age that was not yet. Now, he's under Gentile rule right then. You understand, Jesus grew up in occupied Israel. He did. Rome's in charge. Verse 25, and he gives you a clue until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled, knowing now that there's an angel that watches over these times. My God. Verse 25. And there will be signs after this. Now look at this. We're talking about, let's keep it in context, Gentiles till the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Jerusalem, you see Jerusalem trampled by the Gentiles till the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's heart failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then, isn't that an interesting phrase? Powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great authority. He's actually talking about two different time frames here. Events prior to the destruction of the temple was that first part. And the time of the Gentiles, and events after the times of the Gentiles, when he talks about his coming here, okay? So they are markers and signs, not to scare you, but to prepare you. Little markers along the way for the church to say, aha, we need to be about the Father's business. Aha, look at that. We're getting close. You see what I'm saying? Because he doesn't want you to not know what's happening. Lot was called righteous, church, was he not? Righteous Lot. God goes down and says, shall we not tell our friend Abraham? We all sing that, don't we? We all claim that we're a friend of God. Do we not? And God says, shall we not go tell our friend Abraham what I'm about to do with Sodom and Gomorrah and the five cities of the plain, right? Lot is righteous, yet he's 24 hours away from destruction and oblivious to it.
Boy, come on.
The power of God was in the room for everybody to be healed when they lowered the man through the roof, yet only one man was healed. But the power of God was available to all of them. You can read it. Why aren't they getting it? Why didn't they tap into it? I don't know. Maybe they're thinking about something else. Planning next week's excursion or whatever it was. For whatever reason, the power was available to them. I'll submit this to you. When Jesus walked on the water and he said, come, he did not say, Peter, come. He said, come. I submit to you that the power of God was available for every last disciple to walk on the water. Following that same thing, I submit to you, he did not say, this is not safe, do not try this. Peter, you ask, so you come out. The rest of you, please stay in the boat. In the center, please. With your life jackets secured. He didn't say that. He said, come. Do you understand? Because Peter set the conditions to that thing. And I'm going to submit to you and I that we set the conditions of our life. Now, don't shout me down now. We set the conditions. Peter said, if that's you, bid me to come. Well, Jesus would have had to deny himself. And he's not going to lie. He can't. Right? And he's not going to deny his power to keep Peter afloat when he said, come. And when he spoke those words, the power was there for all of them to do it if they wanted to. But only one of them did it. Right? Well, I don't know. I might get wet. Yeah, you might get wet. But I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat setter any day. I'd rather get out there and try. Okay, so he's talking about two time frames. These markers, these signs are not to scare you, but they are to prepare you, to give you an aha moment. Not that we base our lives or our faith on these things, because you'll be chasing all kinds of crazy stuff. We're led by the word. Let me say it again. Yes. And by the Spirit. Right? Okay. I mentioned this briefly last week. I told you that lunar events are typically interpreted as feminine. Okay? Solar events are usually interpreted as masculine. And they go to covenant people and the nations. Solar events have always been associated with the nations. And lunar events have always been associated with his covenant people. Classic example of this is a lunar cycle is 28 days. Okay? So, the sun is masculine, deals with the nations. Lunar events deal with covenant people, and it's usually feminine. We are the bride. Okay? So, Jesus tells them about two signs, the signs of Noah and the signs of Jonah that he would give, right? Jonah is a sign to the Gentile. Come on, stay with me. Jonah was sent to Nineveh. A Jewish evangelist was sent to a Gentile city, and he didn't want to go. Remember that? And he was 3 days in the belly of that fish, correct? Jesus, the moment that he died, the moment on the crucifixion, you have an earthquake and you have a total solar eclipse, and he's 3 days. You with me? You have some issues with Jonah and the sun if you go read his story again. So it's associated with the Gentiles. All right. I showed you a year or so ago. I did a big sparkly service, and we did a map of they call it the Great American Eclipse of 2017. You remember that? And we showed you it went from left to right across, and then there would have been another eclipse that went this way across. It made the Tav, the cross mark, the mark there. Now I want to show you some things, and remember the numbers now. Numbers mean something, right? If you're in a prophetic cycle. Let me show you. 2017, the Great American Eclipse. The eclipse was 70 miles wide, going all the way across America. It cut America in half. It was 70 miles wide. It began in Salem, Oregon. And it ended at Fort Sumter, South Carolina. Went all the way across the nation. Any of you remember it? Okay. Salem. Salem, that name means peace or restoration. Okay? And it ends at Fort Sumter, where the Civil War began.
Interesting.
Wait a minute, now stay with me. Both state flags, look this up when you get home. Both state flags, Oregon and South Carolina, have a sun on them. Actually, the flag of South Carolina, some people say, no, it's a moon. No, look at it again. It's an eclipse.
Yes.
It's what you're looking at. You're from South Carolina. Am I telling the truth?
Yes,
I'm telling the truth. It's an eclipse. So that started in Salem, Oregon. And as it went across the country in a 70-mile wide, and it happened on Israel's 70th birthday year,
yes. That's right.
As it went across this nation, it went directly over seven Salems. Salem, Oregon, Salem, Idaho, Salem, Wyoming, Salem, Nebraska, Salem, Missouri, Salem, Kentucky, and Salem, South Carolina. Anybody got goosebumps? So it began in Oregon. Now listen to this. It began in Oregon. That same sun that was beginning the eclipse in Salem, Oregon, was actually setting in Jerusalem at the same time. So the sun was setting in Jerusalem and rising as an eclipse in Salem, Oregon. Now it doesn't rise in that time, but the time frame was a setting sun in Jerusalem, which has Salem. And an eclipse was starting in Salem, Oregon, coming all the way across, dividing America. It lasted 1 hour and 33 minutes on its trip across our country. And you got to thinking, it divided America. Salem means peace, right? It divided America. It lasted 1 hour, 33 minutes, which took me to a chapter and verse in the Bible, Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It starts in Restoration, Salem, and ends where the Civil War began.
Yes.
And then it goes on. I've never understood. I loved Psalm 133, but I never understood why all of a sudden he starts talking about Mount Hermon, right? Look, here it is. She put it up. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Where's Mount Zion? Jerusalem. And I never understood why brothers dwelling together in unity has to do with dew. First of all, the high priest, and then with dew. I never, what? And then and the Lord showed it to me one time. Finally, I got it. Here it is. Unity is the key. That's the principal thing in that verse. And when you get in unity at some point, that's when you get a suddenly. Whenever people got into unity, God shows up. Whenever people get into unity, he'll show up. You want to have a God show up moment in your church, get your people in unity. You want proof? Acts chapter 2. They're all in one accord, in one place, right? And suddenly, the place was shaken. Acts chapter 4, you have another suddenly happening. I'm waiting for the day that we have some suddenly just shakenings happening. Come on, I'll show you another one back in Genesis. Even the heathen got in unity at the Tower of Babel. And God said, let us go down and see this thing. He showed up when heathen got in unity. Why? Because he's in unity. My God. And I saw it. There is the dew, because I didn't understand. I asked Captain Amos about this. I said, tell me about dew. There's a dew point. You've heard weathermen say that, right? There's a temperature to where condensed water in the air becomes dew. You hit that temperature, the right combination of temperature and humidity and all that stuff, and the dew appears. It was there, but it just appears now. I submit to you, there's a place that you can get in God, in Him, in a unity place, wherever it is, you hit that temperature point, and suddenly there He is. We've seen it in church services. For whatever reason, there's a sound, there's a moment that happens, there's a song, there's something that happens, and all of a sudden, bam. And it's not that He's not here, it's we're not at the right temperature. All right. So I saw that. It lasted an hour and 33 minutes. I saw Psalm 133. The last time we had an eclipse like that was in 1776. We the people. Now, that whole eclipse happened on Israel's 70th birthday. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. That was our president's seventh month in office.
Oh, my God.
Another seven. On his inauguration. Now, this is not a commercial for him. Stay with me. I'm telling you, we've entered a prophetic season. On his inauguration day, Donald Trump was 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days old. And that was the year 5,777. No, it wasn't. It was 2000. No, the Jewish calendar, it was 5777. Seven means perfection. All right? And I told you that every letter in Hebrew has a numerical value. So the letter that has the numerical value, the seventh letter of the Hebrew, is the Hebrew letter Zayin. And do you have it? There it is. Here it is. This is that letter. It's got like a sword and a crown. Almost looks like a tie too, doesn't it? It's got like a crown and a sword to it. It's very interesting. So it's a picture of a crowned man and a sword. It means to divide or to rightly divide. It can mean returning light, like a torch. Pastor Terry, I say it this way. We got our country back. It's rightly dividing. It's shining a light. All right? So I saw 5777. That's three sevens. Three is completion. So we have, and it was also, listen to this. You heard this because Jonathan Cahn was here. It was a Shemitah year and it was a Jubilee year. All right? And it's the year we got our country back. It means this. It's a perfect completion of time. There's an angel that watches over time. Now, I get it. A lot of people don't like this president. I get that. I want you to realize only this. His election, whether we were in it or not, it put us in a prophetic season that we're in right now. And it did because he recognized Jerusalem, one of the first things he did, and he moved the embassy there. And that lined it all up. That's what started it all up. Listen to this. He was born exactly on his birth. He was born 700 days before Israel became a nation. People say, well, he didn't win the popular vote. He won the Electoral College vote. That's right. The Electoral College victory was exactly 77 delegates or votes. Now, just listen to this. Brace yourself for this one. On election day, Bibi Netanyahu had been the prime minister of Israel for 7 years, 7 months, and 7 days. We're in a prophetic cycle. Which makes me think the year of abundant harvest. All of these things are little just markers for us as the church, okay? He's the 45th president. We know that. Isaiah 45 tells us about Cyrus the Great.
That's right.
I didn't say this about Trump, that Trump is Cyrus and Cyrus is Trump. Israel did.
Yeah.
They made a coin and called him Cyrus.
Yeah.
Cyrus sent them to rebuild Jerusalem and primarily had one thing. He authorized one thing. for them to rebuild the wall.
Amen. Oh,
yeah. Good gracious.
In Jerusalem. Guys, I'm telling you. And scripture, I'm not endorsing him.
Wow.
I'm just giving you markers. Israel doesn't have any problem comparing President Trump to biblical prophecy. They made a coin. We have too many Christians, guys, right now that are voting their pocketbook. Or gender or race or whatever else you're voting on. We need to be voting the Bible. That's what Pastor George has been saying over and over and over. Let me get off of that. So I'll say this to you. You ready? I believe that Donald Trump did divide this nation. But he's divided it along spiritual lines. Who's in and who's out? You see in Isaiah 45, you see Cyrus called righteous and anointed. In Daniel 9, you'll begin seeing talk about him as well. Because, not because Cyrus was holy, because he wasn't, but he fulfilled God's righteous purpose where the Jewish people were concerned. Let me show it to you. Isaiah 45 and verse 4. I'll just read it to you real quick. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name, and I have called you, though you have not known me. He's talking about Cyrus. He called him for Jacob, my servant's sake, for Israel, my elect, I called you. I submit to you that angel was at work because that embassy, we're on a timeline. Now, those are exciting markers of what's happening in the nation and in the spirit and prophetically. But I don't want you to focus on those things. What do we do now knowing that? What do we do? We cannot react. I'll tell you this right now. For every mob flare-up that happens, you can't react like them.
That's right.
You can't do it. We can't act like they do. That's not the way we do things. You can't be firing bombs at them on Twitter. Come on, some of you think you're tweeting and you're just playing Angry Birds. You're just shooting angry little statements in the name of Jesus, and you're not doing the world a bit of good because you're fighting with those weapons. And that's not our weapons, is it? Gentlemen, let's get ready. I want to play you. Brother Copeland had a word in minister's conference, and the minute he started it, I ran into the television room. I said, grab this. You've got to grab this word. Watch this. We'll come right back.
Up to now, for the most part, we've been playing defense, trying to get healed, trying to get enough money, trying to do all those things. It's time to go on the offense. It's time to attack. Now, how do you do it? In the spirit. How do you do that? Well, of course, you attack in prayer. That's only one of our weapons. You cannot defeat the devil with prayer alone. You have to attack him with the name. You have to attack him with the blood. Take from him. Bind him. Take from him what he thinks is his. Take it away from him in the name of Jesus. A defensive army is a defeated army. Mr. Lincoln, like the lost, the Civil War, because he couldn't find a general that would attack. They're playing defense. But when they finally went on the attack, it was as good as over right then. Amen. But I believe we're in the company this morning of an attacking army. A fearless army, fully clothed and fully equipped for what's ahead. Amen. Come on, let's give praise. Let's give him praise. Oh, now wait a minute. Now wait, just best back it down. Back it down. Hold it. Hold it. That's your big gun. The name, yes. The blood, yes. The word, yes. Your faith, yes. But it's praise that stops and stills the enemy. It's praise, the big cannon of faith. It's praise that brings it all together. It's praise. When we pray, we go into His presence, but when we praise, He comes into ours. Hallelujah.
Glory, glory. My. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Now listen what he was saying, because it goes back to that prophecy that he had for this year. I'm going to require you, says the Lord, to walk by faith. I'm going to require you to get healed on your own faith. Didn't you hear him? Well, too many of us walking around still. Be it unto you according as you believe, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. I'm requiring more of you, those older children in the family. I'm requiring more of you because you're older. It's time for you to help with the babies. It's time for you to see to it the babies get an opportunity to know me. There it is. Let me show you something in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, wrapping this thing up. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 8. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, and the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great, and they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Verse 4, then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, tells them who they are there, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. They're going to kill David because of what happened. This is what we do, guys, if we're not careful. We turn on each other, and we got to stop it. United States of America, we got to stop turning on each other. And I'm including, we got to stop turning on Nancy Pelosi. We got to stop turning on Chuck Schumer. Come on. The people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Hear that? Then David said to the priest, right? Priest, please bring the ephod here to me. And he brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? He's going on offense. The ephod, what would happen is the priest would put it on. He would walk in to the Holy of Holies. And the Lord would speak to him through that many times. It would light up. They had stones for each of the tribes. And it would light up so that he would intercede or pray for Manasseh or Judah. Okay. All right? And so he would know which place to pray for or minister to. All right? So the stones would light up. So David asked it's not David's position to do that. He is not the high priest. What does he think he's doing? He asked the high priest to bring it to him so that the Lord would speak to him as the king. You've been made kings and priests, guys. David was tapping into our time frame. All right, I'll go on. Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? He asked the Lord what I should do. And he answered him, pursue, for surely you shall surely overtake them without fail and recover all. I'm telling you, we're on offense now, and it's time for an abundant harvest to recover all. Everything that's been stolen, not just from you, but from your kinfolks. Come on now. It's time to recover all. You've got the name and the blood and the authority and praise in your mouth. Let me show you something in Revelation chapter 12, and I'll wind this up. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10. I feel a shout coming on. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ or anointed one have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens. We're getting into praise here. And you who dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having a great wrath because he knows, listen to this, he knows that his time is short. This is why they're acting crazy. I don't know why people are acting so crazy nowadays. Because his time's short. And those that are motivated by him just are acting like him. And you got to know it for what it is and not worry about it and not fight like they do, but fight with the weapons that we have. Brother Copeland said, get your big gun out. And then begin to praise. And I started seeing that. Now that we love that, overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. But that whole phrase that came after that, there's a comma there. And they did not love their lives to the death. I'm thinking, wait a second, I'm not ready to do that. Just saying, if you're taking numbers, I'm not in that line. But I saw something. It's time for a death to our self life. It's time for us to die to self. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not my life, but I live. The life that I now live, I live in him. It's conformity to the character of Christ. We've got to get this kind of attitude, guys, about us. If you're going to mature, if you're going to do what Brother Copeland said, if you're going to see a year of abundant harvest and not this time next year, be just a year older in the same way you were, I'm telling you, those days for me are done. I am tired of being another year older and just the same way I was. Done with it. And he's not waiting. I'm not waiting on him. I wrote this down. I'm finished with the world. Done. I'm done with its ways. I'm done with its system. I'm done with its banking system, its monetary system. It's this and that and this and that and fighting and feuding. And I'm done with it. I've determined I'm going to live like him and with him and in him. I'm going to walk in him. Your everything has got to be his everything. His everything's got to be your everything. You've got to be so identified with him that you're picked out of a crowd. Galatians 2 verse 19 says this, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. We're alive, guys. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's who I am now. That's who I am now. That's who you are. You got to get up out of the weeds. When they start talking junk and trash and fighting with each other, you notice whenever they do that on TV, they'll put one Democrat and one Republican, and they just fight with each other, and then they say, we're out of time. Good debate. I'm done with good debate. I'm on offense now. I said I'm on offense now. I'm moving forward because there's an angel that's keeping time. And we are in a destined, appointed time. It's a prophetic season for us. It's the year of abundant harvest. Amen. Come on, church. I said it's the year of abundant harvest. Come on, it's time to do it. Let's get your weapons out. Let's praise. Stand with me. Lift up your voice and praise him. Lift up your voice and praise him. All across the world, lift up your voice and praise him. This is your day of deliverance in the name of Jesus. We'll be right back with Pastor George in just a minute.